Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dwayne Heisler with Lightning Bug, and we also have...
I'm Jessica Britton.
Hi, I'm Taylor Lightman.
And welcome. We have our guest Taylor back. Taylor, yeah. How are you doing?
Hi, Taylor.
I'm good. It's good to be all the way out here in Bloomsburg from Lewisburg.
Welcome.
Travel.
It's always so nice
miles
to have
and
you
miles
here.
To it be was, here with us.
It was crazy. I got on the road, and it was such a hot, beautiful day, very still. And the minute I was about to get on the road, just a torrential downpour began to fall. So it was pretty crazy. But glad to be here, safe and sound.
Fantastic. So we have some local news, right, Jess?
We do have some local news. So we had a ninth congressional candidate debate here amongst the Democratic candidates that was held in Bloomsburg. We're recording here on Thursday. This was 2 days ago. So we had our candidates, Laura Quick, Gary Wegman, and Denny Wolf all running for the primary in this district. And we got to hear them speak to some issues back to back, and you know, not really much of a debate. You know, it was a forum style, so they weren't really interacting with each other much. But got to hear them talk about some issues, and
it was a pretty good showing. So that was on May 1st.
Yeah.
Today's May 3rd.
Yes,
but yeah, so it was a pretty good showing.
Yeah, there was
a
good sized crowd. I think there were like 60 people there, so that was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where was this again?
This was right here in Bloomsburg, at the Greenlee Center, which is cool. Right here on Main Street. So
beautiful.
It was sponsored by the Columbia County Democratic Committee, so it was good.
And then there was a reception afterwards.
Yeah, which was also nice. So, I don't know. Dwayne, what did you think?
Well, honestly, I was a little disappointed, I guess. And I guess part of it was when the district, before the district had changed, I was so on board with Alan Howe, who's now in
Indeed.
The 10th Congressional
yes.
District,
yeah.
because of the way they redrew the lines.
Candidate.
But
he
is a very good candidate. I mean, so progressive and really knows his stuff. And
presents himself well.
Very hardworking, too.
Yes.
So maybe as a way of kind of summing it up before I even start, there was a gentleman who was sitting in front of me who had been active with the Columbia County Democratic Committee for a while. He was involved in politics in Arizona too, John LaValle, or Jean LaValle, I should say. And he turned around and said to me, if the Democratic Party or the state Democratic Party offers any kind of training on public speaking and debate, it would be great if these candidates could maybe partake.
Yeah, that.
what
was
that's
the first thing you said.
That is an excellent observation because I do think that they could all use.
So, and that's
some
not
that
even talking about substance.
Right.
You know, that's just talking about presentation, and it was just so many ways so awkward.
It was awkward. It was not. I wanted to see candidates who were ready for May 16th, the day after the primary, to start running in the general. And I did not get that feeling about any of them, regardless of issue positions, not even getting into positions that I support or don't agree with. But I didn't see the polish that I would have hoped to have seen by now.
Right. So I thought the opening statements were awkward, too.
They were very strange.
I thought that, like, for example, Denny Wolf was so concise in his answers.
Yeah.
He was, like, afraid to say how he really felt.
Afraid to commit to anything.
And then
that
Gary,
come back.
His opening statement was
opening
was
statement
almost
was,
red, and it was...
It was almost...
It,
yeah.
What do you mean
it,
by
it,
red?
He was
physically.
I mean, literally reading his own statement. Yeah.
And his first words were "bonjour" or something like that.
Yeah, which I think was a dig at Laura Quick, who was a French teacher and had mentioned that.
No, I think it was about the dairy farms and
the yogurt industry.
And you know, his wife is French too, right? She's from France.
No.
Yes, I've met her. They're really, and that's where they have their vineyard too.
In so, France?
No, they have no.
I was kidding.
Yeah, he's like a third generation farmer. He has Benny a winery. Gary Wegman.
Oh, isn't he a dentist?
He's a dentist, yeah. So he has that, but he also has his winery too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a French winery.
And I do like his positions. His opening statement.
I do too.
His opening statement really struck me the wrong way. Like, I didn't like the tone that he set. I thought it wasn't helpful. I walked out of there just going, I don't know what I think.
Same thing with Laura too. Like she was, you know, when she's on, she's on, and when she's not, she rambles all over the place. You have no idea where she's going.
Right?
She is.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep. She has an education background, and has been with UPS. Like one of the things that I was a little frustrated with her about, and it wasn't even like about anything that she said. It was the first time, and I've heard her speak many, many times now. It was the first time that I had heard her mention that she had been on the state committee. It was the first time I had heard her mention that she had done any kind of organizing work. Like, those were things when she came to meet with us in the very beginning as Columbia County Indivisible. I have no idea why she didn't tell us those things.
She mentioned one thing I remember in an earlier speech, but you're right, she doesn't really. She said, and I know Dwayne from state committee.
Okay,
but
yeah,
between saying you
yeah.
know someone from state
right.
committee and saying I'm on
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
because
I was like, I sat up and went,
yeah.
oh.
Well, that
okay.
changes things, I think.
It really did for me. But I don't know.
Well, that's a bummer. I mean, were you guys more undecided coming or going?
All of my positive and negative thoughts that I went in with were reinforced, and I walked out thinking, nothing changed, and I thought all of the positives and negatives were reinforced.
I went in kind of hoping. Like, hoping it would be better.
Yeah.
Like, I was there thinking, okay, the last time I saw all of them was a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them at a dinner recently, and, you know, that wasn't too bad. And I was just hoping that one of them would really just nail it, and it didn't happen.
No, it did not.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But then again, when you look at it, wouldn't it be ideal if you could just pull bits and pieces from each of them?
Yeah, that
like,
would be great.
It's amazing because it seems like where someone else is strong, someone else is weak, and it's like that. Which actually, they all get along with each other because they're not jumping on each other in terms of.
I do like
policy.
That. I do like that they're very cordial with each other. They seem to genuinely like each other. You know, they can talk to each other and not be hostile, which a lot of times on the other side we do not see. So that's nice.
One thing that really bothered me was the answer to healthcare for all. And I was really upset with one of the candidates who said, basically was pointing to the hospitals and the doctors and saying that that was the problem, that it was mismanagement there. And like, going after insurance company.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some of that that goes on. But the emphasis was, we need to straighten this out first, and then we'll look at insurances. And I was like, oh, so backwards. And then another candidate on another issue, when we were talking about the minimum wage, was kind of saying, well, raising the minimum wage is much more complicated because if someone gets a dollar more an hour, they're going to lose some of their benefits. And it's like, you know, we expect someone up there to be a champion for raising the minimum wage.
Like,
not
feel like
pointing
you,
to the problems with it, but showing leadership.
Yeah, you miss the forest for the trees if that's the angle you want to take with that issue, I think. Like, I think raising the minimum wage is a winner.
There was a question about like the budget, and no one mentioned the giveaway that just happened to the wealthy.
Yeah.
No one talked about
it. Yeah, which that's
they didn't discuss
scary,
it at all. There's so many
things
that
has to be a big part.
So they said, what do you think about having a balanced budget? I mean, that was a great opportunity to go into modifying our taxes and making sure that we have a progressive tax and that we've been there before. When we taxed large corporations and people people at the top 10% the way that they should be, we had something called the surplus. You know, that can happen. Mm-hmm. When you get rid of the loopholes for corporations, that can happen. Yeah. You know, there was no discussion. Raising the minimum wage would help to increase revenue for our federal budget. Like, there's all these things that were just left on the table and no one picked them up. And so their answer was waste and fraud. Like, and you cannot cut your way to prosperity. No. We've shown that. Look at the state of Kansas. Yeah. That says it all. And sadly, no one really picked that up and ran. Excuse me?
What are they on, a four-day school week or something?
Right? Yeah, because they can't afford to run their public schools, which is horrifying.
Which was another thing when we were talking about education and what we should do about the student loans. And there was just no...
Laura came pretty close, I think.
Yeah. He was like, let's just pay principal only. But Denny Wolf was kind of like, well, you know, we can't just forgive that. We have to, you know, we can't afford to do that. It's right. Like, oh, my God.
And then Laura Quick's answer was that it would, what was it? The tuition being paid, like state school tuition being paid, would make the schools so competitive. And I don't know any educator who would think that competition wasn't
At one point she was blaming the schools.
Yeah, it was very... Those answers were all very
strange. What about the one about the opioid crisis? At one point, you know, the dentist, the medical professional, Gary, says, hey, you know... I was a part of the problem. I was prescribing opioids. You know, I don't do as much as I did then and only when necessary. Like, he stepped up.
He owned that.
And then so Denny Wolf says, you know what, I agree with Gary. So it's almost like Gary was saying, I was the problem. And Denny Wolf was like, yep, you're the problem. It was like, oh, that was so bad. That was just really
it was
bad.
Awkward, I think, it really is the best word for it. Because even on issues where you could have seen some slam dunks, like you said, about the minimum wage and then... Gary's answer about, you know, reproductive freedom and supporting Planned Parenthood. He said, well, you know, I support Planned Parenthood and I'm pro-choice, but I'm also pro-life. And I'm just like, man.
This is Gary?
And I get what he was trying to say. You know, he's trying to frame it differently, but he's got to, if you're going to try that, you have to find really good messaging. Because otherwise, it just sounded messy.
Did you think that they all just needed a lesson on framing, or was there something missing?
I think both of those things are true. So here's, you know, so when asked a question about student loans and debts, they went to the idea that we should have vo-tech schools. Like, they didn't answer the financial thing that was happening. Now, vo-tech schools are wonderful. How we should fund vo-tech. But that was the answer they gave for our local economy. That was the answer they gave for education. That was the answer they gave for the budget. Like, they kept on hitting vo-tech, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, sure, vo-tech. I'm sorry, that's not the end-all answer for what's happening in rural Pennsylvania.
Right, and it's not addressing the actual question.
Yeah, exactly. I felt they were just avoiding that.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that.
That was awkward. But, you know, maybe what we need to do is maybe shift gears from that lackluster performance that was going on.
Let's talk
on
about
there
something and, a little more inspiring.
Well, I do want to hear, like, the high point from the debate for y'all.
When our timekeeper, like, called time and everyone laughed because she's a real bull about, like, calling time.
She's a little scary, don't mess
with her. Yeah, she was really scary. There was no doubt that you had to follow the time.
Okay. I did.
Because one of the candidates had a question about the time, and in the time that it took for her to explain it, then she said, time's up.
It was rough.
Yep, you can't.
Yeah, she's a little terrifying. But also...
The reception afterwards
was nice. Now, I did really appreciate their very strong commitment to supporting whoever won the primary, which was nice. And I'm hoping that the infrastructure that all of these candidates have built, they will use to help whoever wins the primary and say, okay, like, now we have to get on board and focus on November. Yeah. So I'm hoping that that's where that's going.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this past week I was in Houston, Texas.
Ooh.
I was doing.
Did you wear a cowboy hat?
I did not wear a cowboy hat, but I did have
missed opportunities.
Come on. I did have like amazing barbecue.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
We also I went to a really like kind of It was a unique experience, this taco place that was really kind of funky, a local taco place, which is really cool.
Tacos are way happier than politics.
I had a fried avocado taco.
Ooh.
I know. Like, they had some really cool things. We should share. You know what? I have a copy of the menu. We'll share it on the page.
Oh, that's
when
great.
We do fun. Barnstorming. Okay. We'll put it on the Barnstorming page. Okay, so shout out to Barnstorming.
Nice, yes. Beautiful.
So, yes, I was out there actually doing some work. I know we like to talk about local issues, state issues, and federal issues. And so what I was out there was doing regional training work for Indivisible.
Yay, Indivisible.
So, and Indivisible, as some of our listeners know, is an organization that's nationwide that came out of the election. And it was based on the Indivisible Guide. So if you go to indivisibleguide.com or org, I forget which it is.
Think.com.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's .com.
Yeah, you can get the information on the Indivisible Guide. And just a little quickie here. It's made up of staffers from D.C.
Mm-hmm.
who saw how effective the Tea Party was at obstructing the House and the Senate and President Obama when he was in office. Even though it was such a small number of people, they employed some techniques to help, to prevent
very
that from
effectively.
Going forward.
Yeah,
but they were also kind of...
I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah,
but
the way that they did it was awful. Like, so they said, well, why don't we embrace some of these tactics, but maybe not exactly how they're employing them. For example, we won't spit on people.
Use them for good instead of evil.
Well, it's not just for the issue, but the way that you did it, because they were, the Tea Party is notorious for, for violence.
Terrible behavior. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't that, but it was actually using their tactics and targeting members of Congress in terms of advocating.
Making calls and faxes and stuff like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And visits with your Congress people, and so it's very helpful.
So the work I was doing there was for a regional over several states, and it was really wonderful because it was really based on leadership training.
Yeah.
And it started with a story of self, like being able to communicate who you are
stories.
And how you came to this work in this moment.
Yeah,
and
important.
Tell that story. And so we helped each other with our stories, because it's those stories that help us to have the one-on-one conversations that we need in order to build leadership and to work towards. So it's not a transactional relationship, but a deep relationship based upon your values and doing that kind of stuff. And then
really
it moved,
make that connection.
Yeah, and then it moved from that into what the plans were moving forward and the goals and being able to come together now that you understand that you have these shared values and moving forward.
Nice.
So something that's so important with Indivisible is they're really the only organization out there that has locations, like Indivisible local locations, in every single congressional district in the United States.
Yeah, you said that earlier, and I'm totally blown away. Like, I'm surprised that that's the organization.
Well, there's other organizations out there. Lots of organizations like Make the Road and
Move On.
But they don't have locations in every single congressional district. Indivisible does, and that's going to be
So important right
that's
now.
Really,
And Indivisible at the end of last year put out a whole new strategy that they called Indivisible 435. Because they are looking at every single district to try to figure out how to win in all of these places.
Well, that's great news because I feel like we've really, the 50-state strategy has totally deteriorated. And I kind of like rebranding it as the 435 district strategy.
Yeah.
Because
you can't win if you don't run.
Exactly.
So that's part of it.
You know, and part of the thing, and this has been an issue of mine with the DCCC, is they focus on like 10 or 15 races, and they dump all of their money into those 10 or 15.
Right.
But what ends up happening is then all of the races that don't go unchallenged, like the Lou Barlettas and the Tom Marinos, they just pour their money into the same seats. So we're just fighting over like 10 seats when, you gotta hit them at every single, challenge them at every single seat.
Right. And they have to know that they're being seriously challenged.
Yep, absolutely.
Because if they, clearly Lou Barletta, Tom Marino, they've been allowed to get away with whatever they want.
A lot of shit.
Yeah.
Right, so one of the things they were focused on was endorsements and what the process can look like, and how. And I know we incorporated their guide and for Columbia County Indivisible, looking at endorsements, and then you could take those endorsements and roll them up to the national level. And if their Indivisible groups in that congressional district are endorsing the same candidate, they'll endorse them nationally.
Yeah.
So it's the organization is really cool because they are truly grassroots. They do not dictate down what's happening in areas.
It's
they are.
It's bottom up.
It really is bottom up. And so they're saying, but we want to support you. We want to give you the tools that you need. We want to give you what you're asking for,
yeah,
so that you can make a meaningful difference in your community and yeah, your representation. And
what comes with a national indivisible endorsement?
Well, that's a good question. There are, I mean, obviously they do some fundraising, yeah, and they encourage their groups to do fundraising.
Right.
So there is that kind of support, but there's also the earned media, and yeah, you know, yeah, that you get from being able to do that. And they actually talked about some districts, for example, in California, where the Indivisible Group stepped forward with a lot of candidates that were in the field, made their endorsement, and now the Democratic Party is following them. That, oh, they're, wow, the ones that are setting the agenda for who they're representing. And so, you know, and there's, yeah, other cases where it's been, you know, the Democratic Party stepping up and the Indivisible Group saying, yeah, we're on board with you with this. And yeah, so it's, yeah, having that progressive voice on the left,
yeah,
being able to do that. And so, and it can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. But one thing it can do is Indivisible has capacity.
Yes.
We have feet on the ground. Our Indivisible groups are committed to doing the heavy lifting with canvassing and making the phone calls like we've been doing. And so that's the other thing that it brings. So if, yeah, you end up with a candidate that's endorsed in that way, you're going to get feet, yeah, on the ground. We have people power.
Yeah. Yep. And I really do think, I think to me, just being involved with Indivisible since, you know, it was really formed, that to me is the most important part of their endorsement process, yeah, is getting all of these people who are constantly looking to someone and saying, okay, so what can we do? That's what you can do. So that this, right, if this candidate is endorsed and this organization believes in this candidate, start sending your text messages and making your phone, yeah, calls and knocking on doors.
You know, something that that I did a little bit in the 2016 election was there was a thing called BerniePB.com. That's BernieFoneBank.com.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was BernieePB.com.
I first thought of peanut butter when you said it. I was like, what's
like,
no,
I like peanut butter.
I
but
like peanut, yeah, I know.
We all like peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
And Bernie peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, hmm.
Yeah.
Give me some of that Bernie peanut butter.
Yeah, but anyway, it was basically a hub dialer, so you just basically plug in, and it's giving you call after call after,
yeah,
call, and then tracking it, and you can join teams and stuff like that. But it was into races all across the country.
Yeah.
Oh,
progressives.
Cool.
And I haven't seen that since, really. I don't know if they're still doing it.
That's an interesting...
It was basically a volunteer-run organization that a bunch of players, yeah, did, but... I would love for Indivisible. I don't know if they're already doing that. Or doing,
well, they are
like
highlighting
that,
races, and they do.
Yeah,
they do
and
have
Indivisible.
Some with,
yeah,
that, with
Indivisible
the phone
has been working with Relay to do the text banking.
Right.
I know that they have done some phone banking. I'm not sure who they're using,
yeah,
to do that, so I'm not sure if any of that crosses over with what you're talking about. But that's, yeah, I mean, resources like that are amazing. Anything that makes those processes easier, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah,
how about,
sure,
it? So, also, we'd like to update you on some of the things that are happening at a state level, too. And so,
yes,
I just got some information. I was in conference call hell in the last, like, 2 or 3 days. And just some update. I know that if you've been listening to Lightning Bug, you've been getting updates on the House attack on SNAP and Medicare. And so, once again, those are moving forward this past week. The SNAP bill, which is a mean-spirited bill that is trying to do these extra work requirements,
right,
create this another bureaucratic level,
right,
has passed the House.
Right.
It tries to reinforce the false narrative that poor people are lazy when we know,
yeah,
in,
right,
fact, that over 75% of people who are on SNAP or on Medicaid actually...
And a lot of times are taking care of someone else,
yeah,
and
right,
you,
right,
just, it's always a good idea to make it harder for people to get food.
So those bills are moving on now to the Senate,
yeah,
Senate Health Committee. Probably going to be some action on it later in the month or maybe the beginning of next month.
Right.
I'm not sure of the timeline. So that's something to watch in the state of Pennsylvania. Also, it wasn't a complete surprise, but the governor threw an initiative forth, Senate Bill 1000 and Senate Bill 2253. House Bill 2253, looking at a shale tax. So they're not letting that go. That's part of the budget. The governor submitted a balanced budget, and it includes revenue generated from shale. That's a part of it. And so there's a lot of ways that this budget can be torpedoed, and that's one. So they're already moving that out front. So there's some movement going on there. And some other good news, the Pennsylvania Revenue Department announced just yesterday, or no, Tuesday, that they had collected an extra $146 million in revenue. So their revenues are up in their collection of revenue, which should also, they collected a total of like $29 billion in tax. Well, that's a good question. Yeah. Well, you know, for years I ran a debt collection company.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know that it was really that. But I know that there were a lot of initiatives made by Tom Wolf to help tighten up revenue generating collection part of debts that needed to be paid by people who should pay their fair share. And so there was some extra revenue, which may help us with next year's budget.
Yeah.
Because it might give us a little bit of room there. And it'd be nice to actually, we're looking at, there might be a little bit of a surplus now because of all severe cuts that the governor has initiated going forward, but also at the same time trying to get education refunded. And so if this budget passes, we'll finally get our education back to where it was
before Corbett
did his cuts, you know, all those years ago.
What were the cuts that Tom Wolf made?
So he did a lot with combining like different agencies within the state of Pennsylvania, which saved a lot of money.
Streamlined some of those processes.
There was duplications of services that were there. That was where a lot of it came out of. I'm not quite sure to have to go to the details of looking back over 4 years of what all those things were. But that was a big part of it being able to get rid of that waste and fraud and, you know, dealing with that kind of stuff. But now when you look at it and you look at the cuts that are there, you're down to the bone. You're down to the bone right now. And in order to move forward, we have to be able to have a fully funded budget.
Agreed.
You know, with real revenue. And so those are just some updates then, and then from the state. But you know what? I wanted to go back to you, Taylor, because we had that discussion about our debate that we had in Columbia County, and there weren't a lot of young people that were there. And I wanted, maybe you could give us the millennial minute on this. What's your thought about?
So why weren't they there, Taylor?
Didn't you get your memo out?
Don't you all talk to each other?
This is your territory, man.
You know, it's so funny. I was actually at a debate yesterday as well for Democrats in the 12th congressional district. And I think there was maybe one other millennial there. I don't know. It's difficult to know exactly what to do, because clearly either the time wasn't good for a lot of young people that work, or maybe we're not advertising these debates at the right in the right mediums.
I think that might be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is maybe we haven't done enough to, like, I know a lot of my friends are the more political types are certainly interested in primaries, but maybe a lot of young people don't know
why they're important.
And why you need to register with a party in order to cast your ballot in the primary, why that's important in Pennsylvania in particular. So I don't really know what exactly the issue is. I don't know. I mean,
there's just a disconnect there. Like, the values aren't connecting up, maybe, or is it, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think there might be a reticence amongst my generation to get involved in party politics in the first place. Which, you know, I think getting involved in party politics is actually a really good way. Like, a lot of people at face value think that it might be like, oh, I don't want to be a part of the system because that's corrupt or something like that. But I think getting involved with party politics ensures transparency, and then it's not going to become corrupt, because if you're not getting involved, then who is?
Right.
Right.
What do they say? If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for y'all.
Yeah, darn it, Taylor. We were really expecting a hard and fast answer on how to fix this problem.
Speaking of menus and being at the table, I think it's time for your favorite section.
It is. I
need to find that triangle.
Time for
chicken and waffles. Taylor, you were talking earlier that you had a pretty good chicken and waffle.
Hit us.
A good, I got a good chicken.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear Taylor's chicken.
Okay. All right.
So for those that haven't heard, Tom Marino is suing some of his Republican constituents that are supporting his primary opponent.
So who's Tom Marino?
Tom Marino is the good congressman from the 12th district, formerly the 10th district, a Republican.
Some big air quotes around good, right?
Allegedly good.
Allegedly good. That's perfect.
Are you watching what you say now?
Yeah,
he doesn't want to get sued.
Yeah,
he doesn't
want to get sued. But I do. So I went to the Lycoming County Courthouse where the defamation lawsuit was filed.
Okay.
And obtained a copy of it legally, of course, from the Prothonotary. And I would just like to read the email for it's very short.
Yes.
Oh, cool! Go
it's,
for it.
It's going. It's it, it went. It's from the Steeles, Marlaney Steele.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, there were two Steeles. It's Michael and Marlaney, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I think Michael is her son, and Marlaney is an 80-year-old Republican activist.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's cool. The subject line is "Opioid Crisis in Tom Marino." We are working to help Doug Miklinko get elected to our district of U.S. Congress. He is running against Tom Marino. There is a heroin and opioid drug crisis in Pennsylvania so bad right now that Governor Wolf declared a state of emergency regarding it. Tom Wolf has a big hand in the spreading of these drugs. He took a $100,000 kickback from the prescription drug industry and helped pass into law a bill that restricts the DBA, it should be the DEA though, from investigating corrupt doctors. Tom Marino also has minor ties to organized crime in PA. He is directly tied by support from Louis DeNaples of the Scranton area, and DeNaples and Marino are tied with huge mob boss Russell Bufalino. Bufalino was the one that ordered Jimmy Hoffa silenced. Tom Marino is even mentioned by name in the book about mob boss Russell Bufalino, quote, "The Quiet Don." Doug is a strong Christian man who has been a county commissioner for Bradford County for 14 years. He has been instrumental in having Bible studies in the courthouse. We need to spread Doug's name by email to all of our friends and relatives. Michael Steele.
So there's two things that jump out at me with that statement. First of all, the $100,000 that was covered in Dateline, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It's almost $100,000,
right.
But the use of the word kickback. Oh, was it 60 minutes?
It was 60 minutes.
It was 60 minutes. Okay. And then with the reference to organized crime, isn't that the same family that did the casino?
They own the, or it's Louis DeNaples owns the Mount Airy Casino.
Mount Airy Casino,
yeah,
and
the rub with that is that, and it's true that you can actually read about this at the Quiet Don, or you could just Google, Tom
Bufalino.
Marino. Bufalino.
Which Marino. I just think is a fun name, and I think we should say it a lot.
I think we should, Bufalino.
Yeah, it's
Bufalino.
We're not
Bufalino.
Saying the other names
no,
anymore.
No, exactly, yeah.
Bufalino yeah. might be my new favorite
yeah.
name.
So,
hey,
so,
Bufalino, what's up?
So the rut.
I mean, we'll workshop
okay,
it.
We'll
go
work
ahead,
it.
Taylor.
I don't want to get too into it, but if you Google search Tom Marino, Louis DeNaples, there's a plethora of articles, and the 15-second version is Tom Marino was investigating when he was the U.S. District Attorney out of Harrisburg in mm-hmm. Philly, or Harrisburg. I'm sorry, Harrisburg in Williamsport.
Okay.
He was investigating Louis DeNaples. For I think perjury or something like that, or
right,
and then it became known that Tom Marino or that Louis DeNaples listed Tom Marino as a reference on his casino application.
Hmm.
At which point the federal Justice Department launched a probe into Tom Marino. After which Tom Marino resigned and became Louis DeNaples' personal attorney.
Well, that sounds not sketchy at all.
2 years later, Tom Marino ran for Congress and won. So,
yeah.
So that's the rub with the organized crime bit.
Cool.
And so,
cool.
Yeah, I think a real chicken, air quotes, an alleged chicken would sue an 8-year-old woman.
Yeah.
For basically writing emails to her private friend.
It's a slap suit.
It is a slap.
Yeah.
It's a frivolous lawsuit
yeah.
that is solely meant to intimidate
absolutely
people into talking poorly of Tom Marino, and it's frivolous in the sense that there. If you're a public figure, there are higher standards for defamation lawsuits. You actually have to know that you have to know it. What it not only that it might not be true. You have to know that it's false, and you have to say it maliciously, like with malicious intent. If you're talking about a public
right.
figure. Like if you accused a public figure of their dad being involved in the Kennedy assassination. Or
who would do that?
Who would do that?
I know. Gosh, right?
So clearly this is not an actual lawsuit that's going to go anywhere.
Right.
But I think it's just meant to intimidate people. Yeah.
Problematic on so many other levels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Tom Marino,
there's your chicken.
The chicken.
Wow.
Sue me.
Be careful what you ask
for.
That's
right.
I was using air quotes there.
Yeah, so it's fine. You're good.
Our listeners
could allegedly.
See that, right?
I've got allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
Oh,
yeah.
Allegedly. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So this is going to be something to follow, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll see what happens. And Jess, I believe you have a waffle.
I just have a little waffle.
Do you have a waffle?
I have a little tiny waffle.
What kind of waffle? Is it a buffalo waffle?
It's like a buffalino waffle.
Buffalino waffle.
Buffalino
waffle.
A buffalino waffle.
Say that three times.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I don't think I could say it three times. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try at some point. Okay, so little tiny baby waffle, and we're not really sure what this waffle means yet.
It's
like one of those, like, where they have, like, the little Eggo waffles that break apart. It's just one of those pieces.
Oh, like one of those quarters in
an
Eggo.
Oh,
yeah,
I love those.
So, Dave Reed, who is the PA House Majority Leader, is now circulating a memo and trying to get support to open the Pennsylvania primary. Now, that sounds great, right?
I'm so suspicious of
this. I know.
Like, what is going
on
there?
What is his ulterior motive? Yeah. It's so sketchy.
Didn't he run for Congress and withdraw? Or Senate, maybe?
Something like that. Oh, and he's not seeking re-election. So, first of all, right there, that's an interesting point.
Huh.
In the article that I found this in was from Penn Live. So one of the things that they mentioned was he wants to give independent and third party voters, and I quote, a reason to go to the polls on primary election days, change the way the redistricting process is done. Let's just put a pin in that.
I know. He has a way to affect that.
And put term limits on House committee chairmanships, which I do think is a good plan, because some of them are not great. But I just don't know. I think it's interesting that he's doing this on the way out. He's not seeking re-election, so there's something there. I just don't know. This is an interesting change.
That is interesting. But, you know, I'll be naive and assume good intentions, because I agree
hoping.
With all three of those things.
I do, too.
I think they'd all be good government things. I've got, like, a laundry list of good government things that I wish somebody would just tackle.
Oh, gosh.
And those three things are on. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Agreed.
I don't know, Dave Reed.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's
warm it up
to you. We're trying to give Dave Reed the benefit of the doubt. And, again, I think it's very interesting that he's doing this and moving on to spend more time with his family, a la Paul Ryan. But I think it's just, I think it's interesting. And
I'm going to see what I can find out.
I want to watch it and just see where it goes.
Keep me updated, see what happens.
Yeah.
That's something to follow.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to check with some of my contacts.
I think the fact that redistricting was thrown into it, like, there's just,
no,
there's some interesting things happening there.
We should put something on the Slack for Fair Districts about it.
Yeah, and see what's
get that out
take
there.
Their temperature too, and
some
see
of my
what's
other
happening.
Contacts in my coalition about it.
Yeah,
and find out what's going on.
And maybe
on
we
there.
Can
what's
post
thinking?
This article on our like on the barnstorming page and everything like
idea.
That, and
let's
we can get it out in Columbia County Indivisible as well. Because I'm not sure what it means, but it's an interesting thing to watch.
Tune into Lightning Bug next week.
That's right. Stay tuned
and look out for Barnstorming PA.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yes,
coming on the bug.
And we had a lot of discussion here. We talked about local debates that we had in our congressional district. We talked about National Indivisible. Gave you some information on that. Taylor imparted his wisdom on the Millennial Minute with us and participated.
I had much wisdom, but more lodged a complaint against my fellow young people.
That's okay, Taylor.
It's all right. It all works out. We had an update on some state issues that are happening. We also had an amazing chicken with Marino.
Buffalino chicken.
And we had
Buffalino style chicken
with a little waff.
Little bit of waffle.
Little side of waffle at the end. So thank you so much for tuning in. And yay. And look forward to sharing some more time with you in the future.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.